Gives me a great deal of pleasure this morning to introduce to you my nephew, Mr. John Meyer. His mother was my sister. And speaking about mothers, we have a lot of good-looking mothers and grandmothers here this morning. You know, I want to tell you a little secret. Some of the best moments of my life, and I'm making a confession here, were spent in the arms of another woman, my mother. And I'm sure we can all say amen to that. It's wonderful to have a memory of a godly mother. You know, I can think of some of the things that my mother taught me when I was a little boy, and I can could repeat them in Dutch. You wouldn't know what I'm talking about, but they stand me in good stead this morning. You know, it's a pleasure to think of John's mother. She was a godly woman, too. And it's a pleasure to introduce John to you. We've been in business together. Not only are we tied by the bonds of nature, but we're tied together in business, partners in crime, if you want to call it. And John is the one that is carrying on at the home front. You know, when I told John, I said, John, I have a job to do in Park of the Palms. They gave me a job. He said, well, I'll have to carry on here at the home front. And it's nice to have a good partner that takes care of things back home, you know. That kind of helps to pay for my gas and pay the bills. We still have to pay the shoemaker and the candlestick maker and so on. And it's John that carries on home. We're partners together in business for 19 years. And we have a lot of fellowship in the things of the Lord. I don't think this very often a Lord's Day goes by, but at least one of us are preaching in one place or another. And most of the time, both of us are somewhere. So it gives me a great deal of pleasure to introduce Mr. John Meyer, who will take the meeting.
Thank you. Thank you, Uncle Frank. And I've been calling him that for a good many years now. I praise God for the opportunity of being here this morning at Park of the Palms, having fellowship together in God's precious Word. I was thinking, as our brother Willie mentioned, Mr. Wardenberg, being related to me by ties of nature, and as a business partner, I thought of the relationship that we enjoy together that is in Christ Jesus. I have found in the course of about 27 or 28 years of business now, that there aren't too many partners can get along for 19 years together. We've had our differences, but I'll tell you, if it hadn't been for our mutual love for Christ and for the fact that we're bound together in the bundle of life that is in Christ Jesus, I'm sure we couldn't have gotten along. Because, you know, Dutchmen have a sort of a tendency to have a hot head. And sometimes we let our mouths fly before we count to 10, you know, as we should. But praise God, by His grace, this can all be overcome. And I'm so happy, as I look back on my boyhood days, I remember the time when just a little bit of a fellow and I went with Uncle Frank on the laundry truck. But there's one time in my life that I remember especially as I think back on my boyhood days. The time when I had an accident in school, in grammar school, and was taken home half conscious and half unconscious. One of the first persons to see me after I got home, beside my mother, was Uncle Frank. I thank God this morning for His faithfulness, because seeing the big bump on my head, He said to me, John, God has spared you again. Suppose the Lord had taken you. What about your soul? I had made a profession, but it was one without possession, and it sure made me think. Well, I would like to speak this morning to everyone, but I'd like to talk about mothers. This is the day they call Mother's Day. And many of us, especially people in business, it doesn't apply much to our business, except that we love to see the mothers alleviated of all their work, you know. All fathers should have mothers send their shirts and dry cleaning and everything to the laundry, because mothers shouldn't have to do that kind of work, you know. It's too hard for them. Gets their knuckles bare and so forth. But the world calls this Mother's Day, and once a year they celebrate this day, and you know, I don't mind it a bit, because I don't believe that we can ever give too much credence or credit to mothers. Oh, the things that mothers bear in silence and all by themselves many times in their lives. And as I look back on my boyhood days, I remember the times when I made my mother cry. But I thank God that I can look back to a mother who was faithful to her Lord as she brought up her children. I was the oldest of nine. You know, sometimes the oldest gets the brunt of the battle. As the sisters came along, and then another brother, and eight of us are still living. I have a brother who went to be with the Lord at the age of 13 in 1937. But you know, I thank God for a mother who was faithful to me as far as my eternal well-being is concerned. I remember when at the age of 13 being taken sick with a cold and a fever, and lying in a room in the home, I remember a faithful mother coming to my bedside and very plainly saying, you know, John, you're not very sick, but you do have a fever. And we never know. Suppose it would please the Lord to take you. Where would your soul be? You know, beloved, I have heard the word of God since I was a little boy, as far back as I can remember. And I sometimes say that I was saturated with the Word of God, and it's true. Because while my folks were in a denominational church when I was a boy, the Bible was always read in our home. And I had to memorize portions of the Word of God, and I dare say that before God reached and saved me at the age of 13, I could possibly have gotten on a platform and preached an acceptable gospel message. I knew it by heart, but I didn't have the Christ of God in my heart. But I'll never forget the question Mother asked me that day, in faithfulness to her eldest son. And you know, my eyes filled with tears, and I turned away, and then turned back and said, Mother, if I should die as I am today, I'd go down to hell. That was on a Wednesday, and that Sunday night, beloved, God saved my precious son. But from the moment that question was asked me, until I closed in with God's offer of mercy and accepted Christ as my personal Savior, I had no peace, not a moment. And so I thank God for the memory of a godly mother. She's been with the Lord since 1945. Every one of the children have made a profession of salvation. And so I can remember the days when I went to my mother when I needed solace, when I needed comfort, when I needed guidance, when I needed encouragement. I remember in my Christian life, especially as a teenage boy, I remember disappointments in older Christians. It seemed to me they were letting us young folks down.
If the speaker on a Sunday night didn't suit them, many of them would stay at home. And I remember one day in discouragement going to my mother. And mother, I said, I don't understand it. These people who say they're such good Christians and preach and teach the Word of God, and yet if any little thing comes along, they can stay home from the meeting. Why? I remember her words. She said, John, listen, don't you let things like that bother you. She said, remember the words of the Lord Jesus. What is that to thee? Follow thou me. I have recalled those words many, many times since that day. What is that to thee? Follow thou me. O beloved, there is much in this life and in this world to discourage. But the Lord Jesus never changes. There's no change with him. He knows no change. As we read in the Epistle to Hebrews, the same yesterday and today and forever. And so when there's discouragement, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. She said, keep your eyes on the Lord Jesus and you'll never be disappointed. And as long as I've kept my eye on him, I have never been disappointed. I'd like to look at some mothers in the Bible today. And dads, fathers, I don't want you to think you're left out this morning. You know, most of the time, when folks get on the platform, they speak about men, don't they? The heroes of the Word of God, the roster of saints in the Old Testament and in the New. And so seldom we hear of the mothers. And yet what an important part they have played in our lives and in the lives of the saints down through the years. And how many there are of them in the Bible that we read about. I'd like to look at seven this morning. I hope we have time. But the first one is found all the way back in the first book of the Bible and the third chapter. Will you turn to it, please? Genesis chapter 3 and verse 3. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall neither eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then shall your eyes be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. When the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. The eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. I would like you to look at the 19th verse. In the sweat of thy brow shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground, for out of it wast thou taken. For dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. Now listen. And Adam called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. I think of that verse in Romans. It says, whereas by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. But here we see the part that was played by the woman. She took of the fruit, beguiled by the serpent, and in disobedience to the word of the Lord, thou shalt not. She took. She ate. She gave unto her husband, and he did eat. And thus, we have the first significant sign of the fact that man and wife are one, as the Lord said in the New Testament. She gave it to him, and without question, he ate of it. Thus, we see that through our forebears, our foreparents, our first parents, if you will, sin entered into the world, and beloved, their eyes were opened. Death entered in by sin. And so death hath passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. But this was the verse I wanted to call to your attention. And Adam called his wife's name Eve, because she is the mother of all living. Now, you know, some people are so proud of their family tree. And they're so glad that they can go way, way back in their ancestry. And you hear some people say, well, you know, my father or my forebears came over on the Mayflower. Wonderful. I can trace my background all the way to the Garden of Eden. Because it says Eve was the mother of all living. You want to know about your ancestry? You want to know about your family tree? Here's the place to find it. What a wonderful book this is, God's precious word. And way back in the beginning, you know, as we think of Eve, we think of the fulfillment of these words. You remember the Lord Jesus said, and I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, speaking to the serpent who had beguiled Eve. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Notice, unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow shalt thou bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. You know, Eve knew what it was to have sorrow, didn't she? Just a little later, what happened with Cain and Abel? Cain slew his brother. Oh, the sorrow that it must have brought to the heart of his mother. But Eve was the mother of all living. And just before we go on to the next one, I would like to quote again that verse from Romans. Whereas by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. You know, that takes in every one of us here in this room this morning. We have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. But thank God for the provision he has made in the person of his lovely Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to put away all sin and cleanse us from our sins in his precious blood. And we're going to come later to that. But I'd like you to turn to the next mother I'd like to look at. And please turn to Genesis chapter 17, the same book, chapter 17. And there we see a mother that has gone down in the annals of history as a very great woman. Genesis 17 and verse 16. We'll start at 15. And God said unto Abraham, as for Sarai thy wife, thou shalt not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name, or her name be. And I will bless her, and will give thee a son also of her. Yea, I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of people shall be of her. First we had the mother of all living. Now we see here a mother of nations. And as we think of the children of Israel, we think of God's promise to Abraham that they would be someday as the sand of the sea and as the stars of the heaven for multitude. Beloved, up until now, they could be counted. But I believe there's a day coming when that prophecy will be fulfilled. But here we see Sarah as the mother of many nations. You know, as we think of this, we think of the miracle that took place. And we think of the faith of this man, Abraham. God's word tells us his faith was imputed to him for righteousness. Abraham believed God. I wonder if that's true of each one in the room this morning. Do we really believe God and believe the promises that are in his precious word? You know, even Sarah doubted. She laughed when she heard that there he was a woman past the flower of her age, And in the old age of her husband, she was going to bear him a son. It seemed preposterous. It seemed ridiculous. It seemed absolutely impossible. But, oh, beloved, with God all things are possible. And it happened. We must hurry on. But here we see her as the mother of so many nations. And you know something that's so beautiful about it? I was looking this morning at the lineage of Christ. And you know, she was one of the forebears from which the mother of the Lord Jesus had come. Yes, think of the multitudes of people that will be in heaven as the result of the Lord Jesus coming down to this earth. A countless number. Yes, Sarah must have been a wonderful woman. But now I'd like to turn to one who I had never read too much about before, in the book of Judges. In the book of Judges, we find a woman by the name of Deborah. Notice chapter 4 and verse 1. And we're told a lot of fine things about this woman, this mother. And the children of Israel again did evil in the sight of the Lord when Ehud was dead. And the Lord sold them into the land of Jabin, king of Canaan, that reigned in Hazor, and the captain of whose host was Sisera, which dwelt in Harosheth of the Gentiles. And the children of Israel cried unto the Lord, for he had 900 chariots of iron, and 20 years he mightily oppressed the children of Israel. And Deborah, a prophetess, the wife of Lebadoth, she judged Israel at that time. Now here we see a mother in Israel, as we'll see just a little farther on, who was really a God-fearing mother. A God-fearing woman. She judged Israel, it said, 20 years. She dwelt under the palm tree of Deborah, between Ramah and Bethel in Mount Ephraim, and the children of Israel came up to her for judgment. Notice verse 23. So God subdued on that day Jabin, the king of Canaan, before the children of Israel. And the hand of her children, of the children of Israel, prospered and prevailed against Jabin, the king of Canaan, until they had destroyed Jabin, king of Canaan. Now, what was the cause for the deliverance of the children of Israel at this time? A godly woman. A woman who feared the Lord. I think that's beautiful. You notice the next verse. Then sang Deborah and Barak, the son of Abinadab, on that day, saying, praise ye the Lord for the avenging of Israel, when the people willingly offered themselves. She didn't give credit to anyone else but to the Lord. Her faith was in the living God. And God delivered Israel because of the faithfulness of this godly woman. And we read, I'm trying to see which verse it is now, we read that she was called a mother in Israel. Verse 7 of chapter 5, that's correct. The inhabitants of the villages ceased. They ceased in Israel, until that I, Deborah, arose, that I, a mother in Israel. When I think of the responsibility of parents, and especially of mothers, though a boy, when I had problems as a child, I didn't run to my dad. I ran to my mother. And there's where I received the solace. But here was a mother who loved the Lord Jesus. And her one desire was that she might see her children won for the Lord. Now the next one is in 1 Samuel chapter 1. And I'm sure we're all familiar with Hannah. And you know we can get some wonderful lessons from these Old Testament patriarchs and these women. And here's a woman who had a real desire to have a child and give it to the Lord. For sake of time, let's read the 20th verse. Wherefore it came to pass, when the time was come about after Hannah had conceived, that she bare a son, and called his name Samuel, saying, Because I have asked him of the Lord. What a wonderful name she gave to this child. Asked of God. Hannah's womb was barren. She had no children. And she wanted so much to be able to have a man-child and present him to the Lord. And we all know, who have studied the Word of God, the wonderful things that took place in the life of this man, Samuel. Oh, the wickedness in the priesthood at that time. And yet this man, given by a woman whose heart was filled with devotion to the Lord, she gave the only boy that she had. She gave him to the Lord. Oh, how wonderful. We can't dwell on it. Let's turn to Luke chapter 1 because our time is going very rapidly. And everyone knew that we would be speaking of Mary. But I do want to look for a moment at the one who was just before Mary and related to her. And that is Elizabeth, Luke chapter 1 and verse 14. Thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. And he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall be turned to the Lord their God. Oh, what it must have done to the heart of Elizabeth as she received this message from the angel of the Lord directly, that she was going to have a son, and his name was to be called John, loved of God, beloved of the Lord. And what a privilege. This man was going to be the forerunner, the announcer of the Prince of Peace, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now let's look at the next one, verse 28. We'll read from 26. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. Thou shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. Here we see the one who bore the Lord Jesus Christ. This is a mystery, isn't it? God in the form of man. Very God and yet very man. This announcement came to Mary. Imagine how she must have trembled. Oh, she thought, the responsibility. How can it be possible? She had never known a man. Yet she was going to have a child. And the virgin conceived. And Christ was born, the Lord Jesus Christ. I think of mothers who have come and gone in years gone by. And there have been men like Wesley and some of the others that we've known that have been faithful in proclaiming the Word of God. And how it reminds us the responsibility that we have as parents to bring up our children in the fear and nurture and admonition of the Lord. Oh, we as parents are going to be held accountable in that day, I believe, for what we have done, for how we have discharged our responsibility to our children. And I'm wondering, as I think of that Holy One that was born of Mary that day in Bethlehem. I'm wondering if every one of us in the room this morning know this Jesus. I wonder if everyone has had a personal dealing with the Lord Jesus Christ. For he was indeed God in the form of man. He took upon himself the form of a man. And he humbled himself. And he became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. I'm sure Mary didn't understand when she was told about the one that would be born of her. And I'm sure as time went on, and as he helped his father in the carpenter shop, she must have wondered. She must have wondered at the words that proceeded out of his lips. Would you never hear of her murmuring? You remember at the marriage of Cana of Galilee when the Lord Jesus first was in his earthly ministry here, doing miracles, healing the sick, restoring sight to the blind, making the lame to walk, raising the dead. You remember at that first marriage in Cana of Galilee? They came to Mary, the mother of Jesus. And oh, how she had learned. They said, "We have no wine." And you know the words that she said at that time were so precious. "Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it." I've thought of those words many times. I wonder if I'm completely doing the will of my Savior. Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. And it's my responsibility to proclaim this Savior, this Jesus, this Lord to those around me, to those that I come in contact with. And should there be one here this morning, you still don't know him. You're still not born again. You've still never received the Lord Jesus Christ in your heart as your personal. Yes, you know all about him. So did I. So did I. I got one prize after another for quoting verses out of the Bible in children's meetings. But I didn't know him. Yes, with my head I did. I knew all about him because I had heard it from the time I was a little boy. But I thank God for that night on our Lord's Day evening when, having been awakened by the word from my dear mother, "Where will your soul be?" I had no peace until that following Lord's Day evening, as a lad of 13, that I received the Lord Jesus Christ into my heart as my own personal Savior, not as the Savior of the world. Yes, verily, he's a Savior unto all those that will come unto him. But that night I realized that it was a personal matter. And I realized that I had never done anything about him personally. I realized that night that I had never taken him into my heart and received him as my personal Savior. And I realized that night I was lost and on my way to hell. Even though I had gone to Sunday school as many times on a Sunday as anyone else. And knew the scriptures and knew the way. That night I realized I was lost. And knowing all about him didn't make him my Savior. And that night I trusted him. That night I said, "Lord, I see it all now. I'm lost. But Jesus came to save the lost. And I'll take you now. Jesus, I will trust thee. Trust thee with my soul. Guilty, lost, and helpless, thou canst make me whole." I said, "Yes, Lord, I'll take you at your word." And I received eternal life that night. 40 years ago, past November. And it's sweeter as the days go by. Don't you find it so, my friend, who know Christ as your personal Savior? He's sweeter as the days go by. And no matter what comes along in life, oh, so many things can happen to discourage us. So many things can happen to pull us down. But he is ever the same. He is ever faithful. And he ever encourages your heart and mind. What a wonderful Savior. Then the last mother that I wanted to call to your attention was the mother of the young man, Timothy. What a commendation we have in the first chapter of 2 Timothy. And Paul speaks of his grandmother. Oh, there are grandmothers here tonight. Today. This morning. I wonder, as our grandchildren look at us, I'm not a grandmother, but I'm a grandfather several times over. I wonder, as the grandchildren look at you and me, do they see Christ in us? Do they see that life lived to the glory of God? Oh, I trust it'll speak to our hearts this morning. I'd like to read that one verse in Timothy before I close. 2 Timothy chapter 1. And I just love this commendation that we read here. You know, Paul called Timothy his son in the faith. It was through the ministry and the preaching of the gospel of the Apostle Paul that young Timothy came to know the Lord Jesus. But you know what? Before that time, the seed had been planted. Yes, the seed had been planted. The night I was saved, Benjamin Bradford, that wonderful preacher of the gospel, spoke the message. But the seed had been planted long before, in the Sunday school class, in the home as I heard the word of God. And that was so in this case. Notice verse 5, chapter 1, 2 Timothy. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. What a blessed commendation. Oh, may it be true of you and of me, as our children and our grandchildren think of us. And mothers, we're so happy to be able to dedicate this day to you and trust that there will be much time yet in our lives that we will be able to live to the glory of God and to win precious souls for our Lord Jesus Christ. Shall we pray? And then I would like our song leader to come up and lead us in a verse or two of number 383. Our God and Father, we bow in thy presence at the close of the service this morning. And we do thank thee for godly grandmothers and godly mothers, godly parents. But, O God, we thank thee above all this morning for our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who left heaven's glory and came down to this earth to die upon the cross of Calvary, that we might have eternal life through faith in that finished work. We thank thee for every child of God in the room. May our hearts be blessed and encouraged as we read and meditate upon thy word, and as we seek to be a living witness while we're left here upon this earth. And, O God, our hearts would go out to any who might be here this morning who are not saved. A young person, a middle-aged person, an older person, not sure of their eternal destiny. May they make sure this morning and receive the Lord Jesus Christ into their hearts as their own personal Savior. And to know Him, whom to know, is life eternal. We thank Thee for Him this morning. For our Lord Jesus Christ, who died that we might have everlasting life with Him for all eternity. We give Thee thanks and commit Thy word to Thee. May it comfort and cheer our hearts, our God, and cause us to go on in ways that are well-pleasing to Thee. Separate us with Thy blessing. Receive our thanks for Thy kindness to us. In our Savior's precious and fearless name, amen.